Washington is one of the few states that does not have an income tax. Much of our state revenue comes from business taxes and from the sales tax. Some observers say low-income residents take the biggest hit from this sort of policy. The poor pay more than 11% of their income in sales taxes, while the rich pay only about 2%. A study by the credit ratings agency Standard & Poor's has tied Washington's slowed economic growth to our sales tax-based system. So, big question, do we need an income tax here? Jeannie Yandel asked this question to Paul Guppy. He's vice president for research at the Washington Policy Center, and to Marilyn Watkins, policy director at the Economic Opportunity Institute. Watkins says Washington should reconsider the income tax.
We cannot fund the education system that our kids need today in today's world and in today's economy based on the kind of tax structure that was suited for a time when agriculture and lumberjacks and factory workers. We have just a whole different world today. We need a much more extensive education system. And so we need a tax structure that's going to grow sufficiently without rates going up all the time.
Okay, so you'd like to see a state income tax to fund education. Paul Guppy, what do you think about this? First of all, do we need a state income tax?
Right. So we would argue that a state income tax is not a good idea for Washington State. As far as public policy is concerned for our state, and we've done research on this, that it really does give Washington State a big advantage. It makes us very attractive because we do not have a state income tax. We're only one of seven states that has that. Regarding revenue for the state, that is important. We have essential services like education that we have to fund. The state overall is going to get about 8% increase in the next budget. That's about $2.7 billion more money going to Olympia than we have now. So that's good for lawmakers in making decisions. And then the Standard & Poor's study itself only made a comparison between tax revenue growth among states. They didn't find any examples of where it was going down. They were comparing income tax and sales tax, but in both cases, revenue was going up.
But I think it's important, of course, to keep in mind that state population is going up. And what's really going up and what has continued to go up even since the recession, we've seen a big increase in state personal income. And this is directly related to that issue you brought up at the beginning and Standard & Poor's looked at of rising income inequality. We've seen incomes for the top group, especially the top 1%, continue to go up and up and up. But those people just can't spend all their money. So sales tax revenues don't go up, even though we have the money in our state to fund the education system we want and need for our kids. We're taxing the wrong people by focusing so heavily on sales tax. And the State Economic and Forecast Council just came out with their most recent report also, and they said that we are now collecting, in terms of the revenue coming in for the state budget, the lowest percentage is going to state revenue of total state personal income on record. And that's only projected to go down and down and down because sales tax is just a over the long run, as our economy grows and incomes continue to go up, sales tax revenue just grows at a much slower pace.
Marilyn Watkins is the policy director at the Economic Opportunity Institute, and Paul Guppy is the vice president for research at the Washington Policy Center. Before we move on, Paul, I just wanted to ask, did you want to respond to the picture that Marilyn painted of sales tax revenues declining over time?
Sure. What she means is that they're declining as a proportion of personal income, I think you said, in the state, which is certainly true. And actually, I love this because it opens up a broader philosophical question about the role of government in our society and how the government raises money and what's the right thing to do regarding that. You know, we have to be careful, I think, about the role of government in punishing success. I'm not comfortable with the idea of people in government saying you're too successful, therefore, you know, we're going to hit you with a special tax. I think that would hurt our overall economy, but just putting government in that role, given how much involvement the government already has in making decisions among individuals, is another area that we have to be careful. Just the expanded role of government and how much power they have.
Well, I'd like to challenge that a little bit because, Marilyn, I think the point that you were making is that right now we're seeing the wrong people paying too much of their income,
exactly,
which means it's not the wealthy, it's people who make less money. So if we flip what you're saying, Paul, one could argue that the poor are being punished.
Right, and that's not fair.
So how would you square that? What should we do about that?
So here comes the squaring. So you're exactly correct that the sales tax is a regressive tax. We have to be aware of that. It falls hardest on people who spend more of their income on day-to-day expenses. But with the current tax system, Olympia is collecting more money than they have in the past. So Office of Financial Management says that they're going to collect 8.2% more money in the next 2 years than the current budget. And that gives lawmakers something to work with. They have to make hard decisions within that, but at least the working people of our state and the economy in general is providing increasing revenue. And while they would always like to have more, the current tax system is producing an increase in spending in the future.
I would say, again, it's important to keep in mind that, yes, we're getting more revenue in, but we also have more people, more kids in school. We want to do more. We want to have more transportation infrastructure. We want to have more of everything. The people of Washington State understand, I think, that someone has to pay for that. And the system that we've had has been one where we've been asking the low and moderate income people to shoulder the bulk of that responsibility for paying for all of that stuff, while the highest of income people pay far less than their counterparts do in other states. Paul's tried to make the point that that's a competitive advantage for Washington State, but you know what makes Washington gives us a competitive advantage is that we have traditionally had a strong education system. We have an incredible, beautiful, natural place to live in. My son, who's in his mid-20s, he said to me one day recently, well, Seattle's the kind of place that people my age just want to live. Those people are not looking at whether or not we have an income tax. They are looking to see about whether or not their kids are going to be able to go to good, decent schools or not. We do have way too many young people burdened by excessive higher education debt because we've more than tripled the cost of going to the University of Washington over the last 20 years, even beyond inflation.
Paul Guppy, what do you think about what Marilyn just had to say? I mean, first of all, she keeps talking about this idea of everyone paying their fair share. Mm-hmm. What does that even look like? What do you think that looks like?
Well, great point, because I think if you talk to taxpayers today at any income level, they would feel like they're paying quite a bit already. And again, the increase in revenue that's going to Olympia indicates that. A quick correction is that the 8.2% increase in revenue I mentioned is not just sales tax by itself, but that's everything together. So that's the whole picture. But in any case, it is going up. But I think it's important to also look at the spending side of it. So, the people of the state, I think, are frustrated with Olympia. In fact, at a business forum, one state legislator said, no matter how much we feed the beast, it's never enough. And he was talking about increases in the budget. I do think it was not a good policy a few years ago when the legislature started increasing tuition at the University of Washington or cutting state aid to higher ed, which was an absolute cut. It wasn't a reduction in the rate of increase in order to fund other programs. I think we're going to try to build that back. But overall, looking at state spending and policies and inefficiencies in the way the state spends money rather than just pouring more money in, and I'll give you two quick examples. Right now, the state charges itself sales tax on its own construction projects, which automatically increases the cost of everything the government does in building. The second area is in education, where right here in Seattle, the first charter school opened, and they're much more efficient. They are reaching out to low-income kids and homeless kids, and that provides alternatives within education instead of the rigid kind of monopoly system that we have, where, again, just adding more money without reform doesn't bring about constructive change.
The state has actually adopted a quite detailed plan for public school reform. And it's been something that has been looked at by the courts. The courts have said, yes, this actually will meet the constitutional mandate for an ample education system that our state constitution says is the paramount duty. The number one duty of the state is to provide an ample education for all children in our state. I think everyone who's looked at the system says you cannot have lower class sizes without higher costs. To have more kids in early learning programs, quality early learning programs that don't pay the teachers poverty level wages, we have to have more money. We can't do that at the expense of foster care. We can't do that at the expense of saying, you know what, people who have mental illnesses, just let them stay in jail or homeless on the streets. We can't do that, we can't do that at the expense of low-income seniors who need home health aides. The state, if we look item by item in the state budget, there's a lot of most stuff in the state budget are things that most people in this state would say, oh, yeah, we do need to support that. We do, as a moral, caring society that cares for all people and believes everyone should have some decent amount of opportunity and dignity. Yeah, the state should be funding that, too.
I'm talking with Marilyn Watkins from the Economic Opportunity Institute and Paul Guppy of the Washington Policy Center. So you both agree that perhaps a restructure of the tax system in Washington state is something that could be discussed and would be helpful. Marilyn, can you tell me what you want that restructured tax system to look like?
We need a tax structure that asks the people with the most money to contribute their fair share. That means we need to have a progressive income tax. We also need to make our system less regressive so that low and middle income families are not paying quite as much in taxes as they are now, because right now we're asking them to pay a lot more than their counterparts in other states are. So we also need to lower the sales tax while we add a progressive income tax to our state. I'd also say we need to restructure business taxes as well, but that's probably a more complicated discussion for a whole nother day.
Paul Guppy from the Washington Policy Center, what would a restructured tax system look like to you?
The grand vision you're referring to, and this is the area that I call the area of shocking agreement between us, is that if you have a full restructuring of the tax code, what you're doing is you're trading off one policy option for another one. So adding a high earner's income tax in Washington state in trade for reducing another tax, like cutting the sales tax or maybe the property tax. For us, again, having a suspicion of people in power and what they can do once they get hold of another source of revenue, the assurance would be if some part of the tax code, ideally, like the state property tax, would go down to zero. And then people could say, okay, we're not going to pay that tax anymore because it falls more heavily on low-income people. And that's going to be substituted for a millionaire's tax or something like that. It's extremely difficult to get to something like that, but if you're just looking at it from the point of view of policy options, you can always trade off one revenue tool for a different one. And Marilyn's exactly right. The business taxes also need to be reformed, and that's an entirely different, complicated discussion. But if our business and occupation tax were simpler, right now it has over 40 different rates, small business people and investors would be more efficient in the economy, and that's another reform we could look at.
Paul Guppy is Vice President for Research at the Washington Policy Center. Marilyn Watkins is Policy Director at the Economic Opportunity Institute. They spoke with Jeannie Yandel about Washington State tax policy. I'm Marcy Silman, and this is The Record.